Right.
Okay. Looking at Psalm 139, and as we're going through it, as I was going through it, found some pretty amazing things. And as we were going through Acts a long time ago, we came across a very interesting verse. So I want to look at first, 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And the verse that in Acts was helpful was in Acts 1:16, when they gathered together in the upper room, and they realized that Judas was one of the chosen ones to begin with, but he wasn't there with them now as they're in the upper room. And Peter says, brothers, the Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. So Peter recognized that some of the things that David said are here, that David was actually sort of a mouthpiece for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke through David. And that's been really encouraging in going through Psalm 139, because it helped in understanding some of the things that David wrote here. So starting off with Psalm 139, get the idea that this is a time of meditation. Now, recently I read in Psalm 77, where it's a different psalmist, Asaph, but he talks about thinking of the things of the Lord, and he says, as he's going through tough times, he wants the Lord's answer, and he says, I remembered the things of the Lord. I mused on the things of the Lord. I thought about the things of the Lord. Then he says, I will meditate and I will consider. And these are all sort of the same thing. He's thinking about what the Lord has passed on to him. And his meditation is thinking seriously about the truth of God. And essentially Psalm 139 is David musing or considering some of the truth of God. And I kind of get the idea of him either sitting out with the sheep or a scene where things are just calm, and he's able to consider just the creation around him. And the Holy Spirit gives him thoughts and begins to encourage him about the truth of God. Now, Psalm 139 has four sections of six verses apiece, where David is meditating on these different attributes or different truth about God. And the very first one we'll look at is about how God knows everything. And then he moves on to God being everywhere. Then he thinks about God's power. And that kind of goes on to the last portion too, where he thinks about all that's going on. He realizes there are some people that just haven't caught on to that yet, and he'd like to see justice being done. But getting back to the first part, he's meditating on this truth about God, and he's thinking about how God knows everything. And he starts off, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. And he's thinking that God knows everything about him. He knows when I sit, you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. So not only is God watching him when he sits down or when he stands up, when he's eating, whatever he's doing, but God even knows his thoughts. You know my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. So whether he goes out, whether he comes back, wherever he's going on a trip, or whenever he's going out working with the sheep, or wherever he's going, God knows where he's going, where he's coming from. God knows when he sits down, stands up. God just knows everything about him. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. And he's contemplating this. He's considering that God knows everything about him. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. And again, the idea of meditation, he's looking at this truth from different angles, and he's realizing that all the time he is in God's presence, he's in God's under God's scrutiny, that God knows everything about him. And in one way, that can be encouraging, knowing that God the Father, God the Creator, is watching over you all the time. But also means you have to kind of be careful, because sometimes our pride gets in the way and we can get into trouble. But meantime, David says, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. And we know that our tongue can be a big problem. We can be doing everything right, and then our tongue can get us into trouble. Like Tessie's tongue is getting her into trouble. So he finally thinks, you hem me in behind and before. In other words, not only is God watching over everything, but essentially God is hemming him in behind and before. He's surrounded by God's care and God's scrutiny. You hem me behind and before, you have laid your hand upon me. And whatever part stage of life he's in, he realizes that God just has his hand on him all the time. And again, that can be encouraging, and sometimes it can be a little frightening, knowing that God knows and is watching everything that you do. And verse 6, he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Now, at a men's conference, a group of us were challenged into a time study. And the idea was to make sure that that whatever we were doing with our time, that we were spending the right amount of time. I just got a strange note here. Okay, note came on the computer here. But we were challenged to do a time study, and we were given a little form that was a week long, 7 days, and the days were broken up into 15-minute increments. And we were supposed to write down what we were doing every 15 minutes of every day for that week, and then analyze how we were spending our time. And sometimes it seems like it took more time to write down what I was doing than actually doing it. And I can see where David would think, God is recording, God is watching over everything we are doing. And he thinks, that's amazing that God can do that, not just with one person, but he does it with everybody. And that's where he realizes such knowledge is too wonderful, too lofty for me to even think about, that God is not only watching me, but he's watching everybody. And he knows what everybody is thinking. He knows what everybody is saying. He knows what everybody is doing all the time. Now, it's hard for us to get our minds around that, that God is so present with us like that all the time. With everybody, we think of the number of people in the world. And again, God is truly amazing that he can do that with everyone, that he knows, that he hems us in, that his hand is on everyone. Now, not everybody believes in God. We hear that all the time. And not everybody believes that God is watching over and has that kind of power. And again, that's why David says, such knowledge is too wonderful and too lofty. We humans can't even think that God is recording all of what's going on. Now, hear from time to time in the science fiction area that somewhere in on the United States, there's a recording, and somebody's recording all of our telephone conversations and analyzing them. And there's a fort someplace that has underground, miles and miles of underground computers that are analyzing all of our phone calls. Well, God is even doing more than that, and he's watching over everything everyone does on earth. And again, that's just too amazing to think about. But then he goes on, once he realizes that not only does God know everything, but verse 7, he says, "Where can I go from your spirit?" So he's thinking that God knows everything. Is there any place he can go that God is not? And there's a little note here from Jeremiah 23:24 that where Jeremiah is talking to the people, and God says, "Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord?" And he's realizing that there really is no place. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And then he outlines, is there any place on earth? And he says, if I go up to heaven, you are there, already there. If I make my bed in the depths, like the depths of the sea, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, in other words, if I go way out east on the wings of the dawn, wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea. Now, for them, the far side of the sea was the Mediterranean Sea, which was on the west. So he's saying, I can either go to the far side of the west where the sun comes up, or the far side of the sea, I mean, west where the sun goes down, the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me. That was a good set of songs that you picked out, Craig, because they nail some of these questions right away. Even "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah," where the whole hymn is about God guiding and us being guided by him. But even there, your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. So there's no place he can get away. So God is watching over him, knows his thoughts, his words, and there's just no way, no place he can go to get away from God. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, verse 11, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. We think that in the very beginning, God said, let there be light. So in the very beginning, the earth was void and without form, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So God was already in the darkness, and he's the one that said, let there be light, and he created all the earth and everything that's in it. But light's an important part of our lives, the lives of his creation, but God created the light. He lives in darkness. So even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Verse 13, for you created my inmost being. So he realizes that God knows everything. There's no place to go away from him that he doesn't see and doesn't know what's going on. And he's beginning to think that even the very beginning, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. So he's thinking that God even put him together, even before there was a him, God was knitting him together. And a long time ago, when we were expecting grandkids, Carolyn was knitting and she was making them a blanket. And it was, when I read this one time about knitting together, it was interesting that while our grandkids were being knit together in their birthplace, Carolyn was knitting on a blanket, and it was sitting kind of right there in her lap in the same place. And you see the knitting needles go, and this blanket was slowly forming, getting bigger and bigger with the different colors and such. And it was just an interesting parallel that one thing was being knit together while the owner of that blanket was being knit together at the same time. So David says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And we've been reading a couple of Bruce Malone's books, and some of the things he comes out in there about the things of the human body are just really amazing, that we are that God put together the body so that it has healing powers and growing powers, and there are just all kinds of amazing things. The miles and miles of blood vessels that take the oxygen to our cells and take the CO2 away, and just amazing the way we are made so wonderfully. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that right well. As he's just contemplating how a baby is put together and then and is born. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. And again, he's thinking this of birth and how things are just completely out of sight until the baby is born, and how wonderful the process of birth is. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, and again, thinking about God weaving a child together like that. Your eyes saw my unformed body. And then this is an amazing thought here. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Now you think, David, were you making this stuff up? Well, no, it's the Holy Spirit is opening David's mind to the things that he's contemplating and meditating the power of God and realizing that a child, as is being knit together, God also has a plan for that child. As David was being knit together, there was a book being prepared for him that would talk about him being a shepherd and a king and the things would go on. So David is amazed at the thoughts of a child being born. And when a child is born, the Lord already knows what that life is going to be about. And in Ephesians 2:10, Paul mentions that just in passing. So it is, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So kind of going along with that, God does prepare works for us to do. Now, we can be stubborn and in our sinful condition say, no, I don't want to do that. But our life is best when we are following God's guiding. Like he says here, he knows what our thoughts are. He knows what our words are. And there's no way we can get away from him. But if we follow God's guiding, if we accept his son as savior, if we accept his way of life, if we read the word and try to follow what he wants us to do, then life will be much better than if we're stubborn and we let sin control us. The whole Old Testament is a story of God saying to the people of Israel, I will bless you more than you can imagine if you will just worship me. But if you worship idols, things are going to go really bad. And when they worshiped idols, things went really bad. But there were times when they worshiped him and things went really good. And people liked that when things were going good, but they didn't like it when things went bad. And sometimes it woke them up and they realized what they needed to do. So when things are going wrong in our life, perhaps we need to wonder, Lord, how have I deviated from the path that you have set before me? So all the days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be. And Paul says that we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared advance for us to do. So his desire is we take that preparation and do those good works. Verse 17, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. And again, he's trying to get his mind around how God has created each one of us and his thoughts and him knowing what we're going to do is just too much. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. In other words, when he goes to sleep, God doesn't go to sleep or God doesn't turn around and do something else. When we wake up, we're still there. We're still there in God's will. If only, and this is where he takes a turn. He realizes that after all of these amazing things, there are still people who don't recognize God and his power. And he says, if only you would slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. And we know David, whenever we wrote this, whatever time it was, David did go through some hard times with some difficult people. So it's hard to know who he's talking about here, but he realizes there are people that just reject all of God's power and all of God wants to do. And he says here, if only you would slay the wicked, if only you'd take care of those people, Lord, then we wouldn't have problems. We think, Lord, that if some of the things would get taken care of, if God would do business, then the world would be a lot nicer. But God has his purposes. Away from you, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you, God, with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those that hate you, O Lord? And I abhor those who rise up against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies. So after going through all this, David realized also that while these people are not recognizing God, yet God is still in control, and he is still watching over everything that's going on. So there's nothing that can happen that is out of God's control. So as much as he would like for God to take care of business, he also knows that God has purposes for those people. So verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And again, that was a good portion of the hymn about search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And David knows that's already happening, but what he's asking here, test me and know my anxious thoughts. If there is any offensive way in me, go page, lead me in the way everlasting. So he knows God knows everything about him, and he's concerned that there, with all of this, that he still might be harboring something that would set him apart from God, the sin that would set him apart from God. And he wants God to search him. He knows that God already does, but he wants to know what those things are that might separate him from God. Know my anxious thoughts. And as soon as that word pops up, the one thing that stands out from anxious thoughts is when Paul talks about it in Philippians. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So that's our, if we have anxious thoughts, if there's anything in the world around us that's going on, like a worldwide plague or downtown being destroyed, if there's any anxious thoughts, we can go to God in prayer about those things. And everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding. And again, Paul's talking about, just like David's, having understanding that transcends. So the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, Paul says, think about such things. What Paul is saying is meditate on these things, consider these things, muse on these things. And whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And we know that already. The God of peace is with us. And that's his desire, is for us to seek his will. If there's sin, for us to confess that sin and get right with him. But he is watching over us at all times. His hand is on us at all times. And if there's things that seem that aren't going quite right, we need to look to see, is there some sin that's setting us apart? Or is there something that God is teaching us, something he is preparing us for, that we need to be ready for coming on in the future? So God has his hand on us, and he is ready to provide for us. He wants us to follow him. We can be thankful that he is watching over us in that way. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for speaking this through David. And though some of these things transcend our understanding, some of them are too great and too mighty for us to think about, that you know us and you're watching over us. You know our words before we say them. We just thank you, Father, for knowing that you are with us, that you are taking care of us, and that you're providing for us. And we just thank you, Father, again, for sending your Son to be our Savior, and how it is up to us to share that good news with others. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.